About the value, the power of vision. And we talked about having a vision for your life. Having a vision for... And some people thought we were talking, when we were talking about vision, we were talking about having a vision for the church. We do have a vision for the church. Our vision is to reach up, reach in, reach out. Now, that we flesh that out a little bit. Everything that we do in this church revolves around three things. Reach up to God. Okay? You have to reach up to God, first of all, to have a relationship with Him. Okay? Now, God reaches to you, but you have to reach up to Him. Then we reach up. After that, we learn to reach up to God in worship and become worshipers, because God is looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and truth. Then reach in is the next thing. We reach in before we reach out. And there's two aspects of reaching in. One is discipleship. There's a difference in a believer and a disciple. It's easy to get saved. Okay? It's easy. It's free. Discipleship costs you your life. God didn't save us just so that we could sit around and do nothing. He saved us because, so that we could become disciples. Jesus gave His life so that you can give your life back to Him. And the only way that God can be glorified in the earth is when we give our lives back to Him. He takes it and begins to do something with it so that He can be glorified in the earth. That's God's plan. That's what it's all about. So the next thing that we have to do is reach in. The second aspect of reaching in is fellowship. Now, some people don't believe in fellowship. You have to have Christian fellowship. I believe that Christians ought to worship together. They ought to study together. They ought to play together. Does anybody like to play? Okay. One of the reasons that we do life groups. Life groups are study groups. They are work groups. We're encouraging all of our life groups to pick a project. We're cooperating with Healing Place Church in Baton Rouge in the month of April called Servolution. There's going to be 7 days of Servolution. And we're challenging all of our groups to pick a project outside the church. And yes, outside the church, outside the walls of the church. Find somebody that you can do something for. Hopefully Sunday, we're having some cards printed up. I sent it to the printer today. Some random acts of kindness cards. That Eric designed one, and we got 500 of those coming. We're going to hand those out so that you can go out and do random acts of kindness and leave a card and say, it'll say, you've been picked. This is a practical way to show God's love. Now pass it on to somebody else, you know. But we're challenging our life groups to reach out. And then we're challenging our life groups to have a social event sometime during the next 12 weeks as we meet together. So the whole thing of Christian fellowship is breaking bread and sharing the Word together and working together. I believe that what God is going to do, He is going to take and glue people together through these things that they do together. Now, we had one group this last time that gave a family a car. And I think that was real special with that whole group that did that. I think that they have an affinity together now that they have done that together, and they pooled their money. The money didn't come out of the church. They pooled the money and bought the car. And it, you know, it was real neat to see that come together. And it ministered to a family that didn't have a car. In fact, they were having to walk everywhere they go. Well, that's a bummer when you're pushing a little baby in a stroller, isn't it? So that's reach in. And then reach out is what we do as a church in the ministries that we support. In the other things that we do, as you reach in, as you become a disciple, then you're able to go and reach out. That's what this whole study is about, is how to find your purpose. So we have to value the power of the vision individually, because we need to know how we fit in the vision of the overall church. Now, I can't tell you where you fit. That's something that you and God have to work out. This is why we're doing this study. This tells you how you can come to the place that you know what you're supposed to do for within the vision of the scope of this church. Amen? So when we're talking about how to live your life on purpose and value and the power of the vision, we're talking about your vision. The vision that God puts in your heart. Tonight, we're going to talk about chapter 2. The thing that y'all studied this last week is called Develop the Ways of a Winner. Develop the ways of a winner. Now, the vision has to come first. You don't win just because you choose to do something. I might decide that I want to be the next Michael Jordan. Okay? I just decide I'm going to become the next Michael Jordan. Well, there's two or three problems with that. Number one, I'm 56 years old. Number two, I'm fat. Number two, I can just barely jump up and touch the bottom of the net. Not the rim, the bottom of where the strings hang down. I can just barely, if I jump real hard, touch the bottom of the net. There's times I can't even make a layup. I can decide, I can get a vision and say, I'm going to be the next Michael Jordan. I do not have the talent, the attributes, or even if I could pay the price to do that, I don't have the physical tools in order to do that. That would be an unrealistic thing. God has a vision and a purpose for all of us that if we'll begin to seek Him, put Him first in our lives, He will begin to develop in our hearts the thing that He has for us to do. Now, let me say something about your vision. And about your vision is that one of the ways that you begin to find out what you're supposed to do is what is it that you have a passion for? What is it that you have a talent for? What is it that you have a gifting for? Have you ever watched little kids and how they play? You can study a child and you can see how they're bent. Now, I know a lot of things change. You know, when I was a little bitty boy, I wanted to drive a garbage truck. You know why I wanted to drive a garbage truck? It was because I would look out the window when I was a little boy and see the guy pick up the garbage. And then I told Mom, I said, I want to drive a trailer big old truck. Well, I saw somebody that was driving a big old 18-wheeler and I wanted to drive a trailer big old truck. So stuff like that happens with kids and those kind of things change. But you see things begin to develop in kids about how they're talented, how their temperament, all of those kind of things have to do with your vision. See, God designed you and He put you together uniquely and fitted you so that you can use what He's given you for His glory, for His pleasure. You know, it's kind of funny. I talk about my grandkids. I kind of like them. But we've kind of been watching Jackson lately, and Sunday morning they were warming up. And I expect them probably to be musical, since their mama is so... I mean, she can play the drums, she can play the keyboard, she can sing, she can... You know, I expect they're probably going to be musical. And Jackson was sitting over on that front step, and he was watching E. And he'd say, "Room? Room? Room?" And E went and got him afterwards and took him up there and gave him the drumsticks. And boy, he was beating on the drums. We get at the house. We went to eat the other night. And he got some straws and took a little bowl. And he was beating the drums. Well, reckon that's something that's working in his little heart already at 2 years old. I don't know. We're going to watch that and see. You know, if we're not going to try to make him what we want him to be, we need to allow the vision to develop in his heart and him become what he wants to be or what he's designed to do. You know, when my boys were little, people would ask me, said, "Are your boys going to be preachers?" And I just tell them, I said, I'm not calling them. I'm not calling them to be in the ministry. I'm not calling them to be preachers. And, you know, if they're going to be in the ministry, it's because God does it. So, but there's a lot of things that come about in our lives that shape us, that bring us to the place that we need to be so that we can do what we're called to do. And every one of us have a calling. So the vision is something that we need to pay attention to. Let me encourage you to go back and read that chapter 1 again. But tonight we're going to talk about develop the ways of a winner. You are called to be a winner in the vision that God has given you. I will never be a Michael Jordan. I will never be an Albert Pujols. Some of you don't even know who Albert Pujols is. Y'all need to get a life. There's a lot of things that I might want to be, but I will never be because I'm not gifted that way. So you can be a winner in the things that you have been gifted to do. You say, well, is it all up to God? No. It's up to God to give you the vision. It's up to you to develop it and make it happen. God will work in you and through you to accomplish His will and purpose, but you're going to have to lend yourself to it also. It's a partnership. The Bible says that we're laborers together with God. One of the things that Sepulveda. I have to look at it to pronounce it. I can't remember it. He says, unless you try to do something beyond what you have already mastered, you will never grow or live beyond where you are right now. We always have to be reaching for something that we've not mastered before. You know, one thing that, and I have to confess a shortcoming here, I can sit down at a piano and pick out a tune. I can pick up a trumpet and pick out a tune. I used to play the trumpet, but I can play it by ear. I can sit down with a guitar and I can figure out chords on things. You know, the only problem with that is I never mastered it. I never pushed myself. I never tried to develop it. And guess what? That's all I can still do is take one finger on a piano and pick it out. What would happen if I would have given myself to try to learn? I can read music. I learned to read music. But what would happen if I had worked on scales and learned notes and guitar chords and rhythms and all of those kind of things? I might be able to play 3 or 4 instruments right now. I think Davey plays, what, 2 instruments, 3 instruments? I could do that. But why didn't I? I still could. I don't know that I will, but I mean I could. But this says, unless you try to do something beyond what you've already mastered, you will never grow or live beyond where you are right now. If you continue to just do what you've always done, you're always going to be what you are right now. If you want to build muscles, you can look in the mirror all you want to. But guess what you got to do? You got to pump iron. If you're going to lose weight, you know what you got to do? You got to do something besides will. I wish I could, boy, if will alone would get it, if wishing alone would get it, I'd be as skinny as Joe over here. And I'd be muscled up like Quincy. Okay. Continual growth is the one difference between winning and losing. When we quit growing, we quit going forward. We have to continue to grow. So the big challenge is staying motivated. Staying motivated. A lot of times we get excited about something and we want to do something, but we'll do it for a little while. You know, after the first of the year, usually everybody goes on a diet. People go out and buy exercise machines. How many of you ever bought exercise machines and never used them? Or maybe used them twice And now that you hang clothes on them. You sell them in yard sales. I mean, you pay $300 or $400 for them, and you sell them for $25 in yard sales a year later. Oh, willing it is not enough. You have to stay motivated. You have to stay committed to something. And you know, and sometimes unless there's a tragedy or a catastrophic event like a health scare or something, sometimes people are not willing to change. There has to come some kind of crisis in our life. The doctor looks at you and says, if you don't change your lifestyle, you're going to die. Or if you don't start producing on the job, you're going to get fired. And many times it's negative motivation that makes us change our ways. Listen, you don't have to wait to be negatively motivated before you can make changes in your life. The key to this whole thing is continual growth. It's not huge growth. It's just continual growth. Continuing to grow. Continuing to do the things that will make you grow. Three things. Three keys to staying motivated. Number one, and this goes right along with what they're studying in the step studies. Evaluate where you are right now. You're going to have to look at yourself, and you're going to have to take an honest evaluation of where you are in your life right now. Okay, I'm going to ask you 9 questions, and I want you to answer these. Not out loud. Okay? Not out loud. And I want you to be honest. Let me ask you a question. Are you capable of being honest with yourself? If you say, you know, if my wife would cook healthy meals, I could eat better. I've said that to her. If you would eat good, I would eat good. What is that? What is that? What's wrong with that statement? I'm trying to put responsibility for my growth on somebody else. I'm still fat. I'm still over. I shouldn't use that term. I'm still overweight. I'm doing something about it now, but I'm still overweight, and I've got to stay motivated. But you have to evaluate where you are right now. I went by to see my pharmacist today, and he said, "Let me take your blood pressure. 158/108. That's stroke level." He says, you go to your doctor now. So I got to do something. I've already losing weight. I've already lost 10 pounds. But my blood pressure is still sky high. If I'm going to stay around, I talk about retiring when I'm 70. I don't know if you can live with a blood pressure of 108 till you're 70 without ruining all of your organs in your body. I plan on being here. So I got to stay motivated. I got to get honest about some stuff. I have hurt my health. I have allowed my lack of control, but eating properly. I don't eat proper. I eat grease. I eat French fries. Anybody like French fries? Anybody like greasy hamburgers? Ooh, Shonda. Pizza. Mexican food. Cheese. And chips. Oh. Baked potato with butter. That's not proper eating. Bacon bits. Yeah. I'm trying to motivate. Cookies. Okay. So I have to take it on. It's not that I eat, that I overeat. I just eat the wrong stuff. Now I'm addicted to Subway right now. So that's good. I've been eating Subway and I've lost 10 pounds and I want to stay motivated. But I've got to take some honest looks at some things. and whatever the things that hang us up in our life and the areas that we need to improve, we have to get honest with ourselves. Number one, what are you doing to grow spiritually? What are you doing to grow spiritually? Are you doing anything? Well, I'm coming to church. That's not enough. Can I tell you? That's not enough. I want to say it again. That is not enough. I tell you what we'll do. We'll just do this little test and see how long it goes. Let's say you come to church twice a week. Next week you only get to eat twice. Reckon you'd be hungry? You think you was dying. Well, your heart's thought that for a while. Your spirit man has thought that for a while. If all you ever do is go to church and you don't ever do anything beyond going to church, if you never read your Bible, if you never pray, if you never witness, if you never do the things that causes you to grow, that's what you're doing to your spiritual man. Let's get real and let's get honest about some things. So, what are you doing to grow spiritually? Think about it. If you're not doing anything, then you need to think about making some changes. I believe that all of our problems begin as a spiritual problem. You think being overweight is a spiritual problem? I do. Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is something called self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Okay. I'm just being real. Keeping it real, dog. Okay. Number two, what are you doing to improve your relationship at home? Is your home life not what it needs to be? Then what are you doing? Well, I'll tell you what, if my wife wouldn't nag. Oh, you're in trouble. It's going to be sofa time for him. He deserved that one. Okay. Y'all are having way too much fun in church, I'm telling you. What are you doing as husband, as wife, to improve your relationship at home? Well, if my spouse would do... No. I didn't ask you what your spouse needed to do. What do you need to do to improve your relationship? Okay. What about at work? Well, you know... Boy, it's hard where I work. Well, what are you doing to make it better? Well, there's just somebody there that just gives us fits. What are you trying to do to win that person and make that person into a friend? What are you doing to try to improve your work situation? What about the neighborhood that you live in? Are you a good neighbor? What about at church? Well, I tell you what, we need to change a lot of things here at church. What are you doing to make it better? Well, I know what you need to do. No, you don't need to know what I need to do. You need to know what you need to do. I have a lot of people come to me with good ideas, but they don't want to be involved. They want me to do it. Listen, if you conceive the baby, you have to birth it and raise it. Well, Pastor, I know what we need to do. I know what that's me and the frog in my pocket. You know, people don't want to. They want to give advice, but they don't want to do. And so I'm asking you, what do you need to do to make this church better? Number three. Oh man, are you satisfied with your health and physical fitness? If you're not, then what are you doing about it? Well, I'm gonna. Oh yeah, I've said that before. I'm gonna. Then your blood pressure gets 158 over 108, and you better then. Okay. So what are you doing to make your health and physical fitness better? Number four, how balanced and in order are your priorities? Balanced and in order. Number one, God first. Well, if I had more time, Well, that's what I'm talking about. If I had more time, you know, if I wasn't so busy, I'd give God more time. You hear what you're saying? You're saying your priorities are not right. Who comes first? Yeah, but my wife. No, wife's not first. Yeah, but my kid. Kids are not first. But my job. Job is not first. Do we have to do all of those things? Yes. But let me tell you something. If you'll get God as first priority in your life, and really, not just in name, oh, I love Jesus. And you talk to Him every time you come to church, I'm stepping on my toes. And the only time you talk to Him is when you need something or you're in trouble. That's not balanced and in order. Family second, work third. God second, family third, work. Well, I'm going to have to quit my job to do that. No, you're not. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Don't quit your job and come here and expect me to feed you. Paul said if you don't work, you don't eat. Oh, Shondai. Okay, number five. What is holding you back from growing in any area of your life? Is it recreation? Is it laziness? Is it lack of motivation? Is it procrastination? Ooh, we like that one, don't we? Procrastination. Putting off tomorrow. For tomorrow, what you could do today. Okay. Number six. Is it small thinking? Do you limit yourself by your small thinking? I'm having to stretch my head around a bigger church. You know what? When we built this church, we've been here almost 9 years. Doesn't seem like it, does it? I got a DVD I'm going to play at our groundbreaking for this church. You ought to see some of us. I was young. I was skinny. I had brown hair. Nancy, ooh, oh, Kyler was this big. It was a hoot. But you know, when we moved over here, we brought about 90 people with us. And we thought we built this church big enough that would last us from now on. Was we wrong? We were wrong. We've already added on to it, what, 3 years ago? 4 years ago? And we're already out of room again. We're going to have to look at multiple services or something. You know, we're going to have to look at something. Is it little thinking? Do we think too small? Do you think too small where your earning potential is concerned? Do you think too small where your sources are concerned? Your flows for money is concerned? Do we just think too small about things? Small planning. We don't plan. We don't plan stuff. We just grab ourselves by the seat of the britches and just do it as we go along. How about small vision? Oh, man. Number seven. I didn't write this. This is in this book. Everybody in the church ought to get a copy of this book and read it. Number seven. Who or what is influencing you? What's the major influence in your life? Is it the TV? Is it the media? I saw this church influenced by the media. You know, the media will keep you so stirred up. Okay, they'll keep you stirred up. I try not to listen to them. I'm not a Barack Obama supporter. I am now. I didn't vote for him. He and I disagree on the abortion issue, on some other issues, but I'm praying that he is successful and is a successful leader of this country, because we need a strong leader for this country. And I'm not gonna spend my time listening to all of his critics so that I can develop a critical attitude where he's concerned, because I don't want that to be the thing that's influencing my life. So you can get that way. And I've noticed in the right and in the left, there's hatred. There's a lot of hatred in the right and the left. And a lot of that's media driven. What we need to learn to do is, and I'm learning to work with all kinds of people, even people I disagree with on some areas. Okay? Oh, man. I like Hannity, but I just don't listen to him a whole lot. I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh at all. Honestly, the Democrats fight the Republicans and the Republicans fight the Democrats, and all they're trying to do is get in power. And I don't believe either party cares a whole lot about us. So we're going to have to pray, and we're going to have God intervene in our government sometimes, and they're playing petty games and doing things that we disagree with, but I think God's bigger than some of that mess. Okay, I got to move on. Okay. So who or what is influencing your thinking? Because whatever influences your thinking is the thing that will influence your action. I want mine to come out of the Word of God. I want mine to come out of my relationship with God. I want to be able to look at people that I disagree with or that I might not even like and be able to love them with the love of God. I want to be able to see people and love them where they are. And that's hard sometimes. And so I need the right kind of influences in my life that will help me. Now, I'm not sticking my head in the sand. I know what's going on in some areas, but I just don't veg on that stuff. Number 8, what power, past, present, or future, controls you? Is it your negative past that controls you? Then you need to do something about it. Is it your failed marriages? Is it your relapses? Is it your abuse? Is it whatever it is? I mean, whatever it is in your past that's having negative influence on you, don't let that. You cannot allow your past to influence you unless it's a positive past. Okay? Or your present, the circumstances that you're living in. I am not limited to my circumstances. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. That I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. He is at work perfecting that which concerns me. I can achieve beyond what the circumstance says that I can achieve. Our future. That's worry. I don't want worry to control me. I want faith to control me. I want my hope. This is where the vision comes in. You know, there are times that, you know, you see things happen and it tries to implant a negative vision in you. You see, let's say that somebody gets at odds with each other in the church. And here comes the voices. Yeah, your church is fixing to splinter in 1,000 pieces. You know, so-and-so is not getting along and they're fussing this and people are going to take sides and yanny, yanny, yanny. And if you think on that very long, it will affect your vision. You'll get into worry. You'll get into fear. And that becomes the thing that influences your actions. And a lot of times the reason that people fail is because they allow negative emotions to influence their actions. Is that good? Man, it's 8 o'clock. Number 9. We're going to have to... Ooh, I'm not even going to get through with this. What do you see as the treasure of your heart? What is the treasure? What do you see as the treasure of your heart? See, these are some hard questions. These are some tough questions. These are some questions that you need to meditate on a while, and you need to be honest with yourself about, because these will determine whether you develop the ways of a winner or not. Let me give you, just quickly, and you've got this in your book, three keys to staying motivated. Number one, evaluate where you are right now. Number two, overcome complacency. That is a big deal, because people get complacent. They get, complacency will trap you right where you're at. You just kind of settle in, okay, I'm tired of fighting it. Just get complacent. You know, it may be the difference in winning and losing. Number three, do what you can today to come closer to your potential tomorrow. Baby steps. Consistency. You know what? I was going to be a bodybuilder before. I saw Sylvester Stallone without his shirt on one time. I thought, he's just not huge, but he's ripped and cut. And I thought, I could do that. Well, that dude works out 6 or 8 hours a day. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, I can do that. Well, if I could do it in 3 minutes a day, I could do it. 3 minutes a day. No, you have to be consistent. You have to start where you are. You have to start baby. You have to take baby steps. You're not going to press 560 pounds starting out. I might press 100 pounds right now, but I couldn't press 500. But you know what? I could start with 100 and go to 105, 110. If I be consistent, build my strength. And that's the way we have to do in life. There's no such thing as an overnight success. You know what we're seeing happening here began when we were in the old church. And a lot of it has been in the last 2 years. Some of the changes that we have made, that people have resisted and fought. You see three tracks, 2 feet in the rear end. I mean, dragging them all the way. And now we're seeing God do something. And we're seeing growth. And let me tell you a little secret. That'll only take us so far. And then we're going to have to do some other things to continue to grow like we need to grow. Because I don't believe we've anywhere near our potential yet. We've just started Celebrate Recovery. There's other areas that we can get into besides drug and alcohol. There's codependency, there's sexual addictions, there's anger, homosexuality, faith. You need to go outside. Strike two. but there's a lot of things that we have to change to produce. Everything that you do that produces starts with the seed that you sow. And the harvest is always bigger than the seed that you sow. But sometimes breaking the ground to sow the seed is the hardest thing that you'll ever do. Yeah, I mean, y'all found that out trying to start Luke 4:18. The crud that you had to wade through to get where you could just begin. And you've only just begun. But God's got greater things than that. I remember when John 3:16 was this size, and now they got about 50 guys and a big campus and all of that kind of stuff. They took baby steps, and God blessed it. See, we're not responsible for the results. We're just responsible to be obedient to do the next thing that we're supposed to do to get us there. Amen. We got to quit. It's 5 after. Kathy's not here tonight. I could have gone another 30 minutes and not get in trouble unless she's watching on the internet. Let's pray. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Is this good, us going back over this and talking about it? I mean, this is old hat to those of you that are in the deal, but for the Celebrate Recovery people, it's not. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can share together. Lord God, that we can know that we can be winners in the things that you've called us to do. And we can be, as a church, that we can win and win people to you and cause them to become devoted followers of You. We thank You for this, and we pray that You guide us and direct us in this. Bless Your people tonight, and bless the Word to their heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You for coming.